Hello, and welcome to Women in What We Do. I'm so excited to launch our second season of this podcast. Our first series shared stories of women who overcame challenges, followed their passions, built their dreams, turned their diagnosis into superpowers, and so much more. It's so important that we continue to share these amazing stories of women around us. And our first episode of this new series does just that. A beautiful young businesswoman who, with love and community guiding her on her journey, has accomplished so many things already. I'm Mary Brucker, your host, and welcome. So I am absolutely thrilled that our first episode in the second season is one of my favorite little humans who I've known have followed her journey for, it's been many, many years. Please welcome Miss Isabella White.
Hi, Mary.
I know, like I'm fangirling. You're fangirling.
Oh, I'm completely fangirling too. You have no idea. I am so, when I got here, y'all, and she was like, you're the first episode. I was like, what? I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. I've enjoyed listening to season one all the time. So I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you.
I'm happy you're here. And, you know, I think you're the absolute perfect person to start off the season. You know, when we talk about this renewed energy and we talk about the things that we want to accomplish in Women and What We Do in the podcast, I mean, you are somebody who I look up to and learn from all the time, just from your journey. And
well, I'm already crying. Thanks. I'm already tearing up. That's good. That's great.
You know, I've watched you. You know, in all transparency, I've watched you when you were a little girl, right? Mm-hmm. Like your dad was a mentor of mine. He tried to teach me mindfulness for years and years and years. And I don't want to say he failed. I failed. And we'll get into that. But I want to kind of talk about your journey as becoming the woman who you are today, because it started at a very young age. You had some challenges in your younger years. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, and I just want to say I'm so grateful for a space to be able to talk about this, because many women don't have a space to tell their story. And as I've gotten older, I've learned the importance of going back to my story. And so I want to say, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share my story, because it can be a very vulnerable thing too,
you know?
And this is a really safe space. For those listening, hi, let's get into it. Let's talk. So when I was about 8 years old, I was a very active kid. I was in Aikido. It's my martial art that I grew up doing. My parents met doing Aikido. And I was in gymnastics and all the fun things. And then when I was about eight, I started to feel a lot of pain in my body. And I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't do the headstand the way that I used to. I couldn't do the cartwheel. I couldn't do a lot of these things that were just so natural to me. And my parents started to get really concerned. And as time went on, it just got worse and worse. It got to the point, Mary, where I couldn't go to school in the morning. Like, I could not get up. And it's not just because the kid, you know, I'm a kid and I don't want to go to school. I couldn't get up in the morning. And so that's when my family was like, this is something really serious. Turns out I go to Cleveland Clinic. We're thinking it's just going to be something random, but, you know, like some arthritis or something like that. No, I get to Cleveland Clinic and they say she cannot leave. She has one of the most rare autoimmune disorders. She could die, actually, if she goes back home right now. So at 8 years old, I had to spend a week in Cleveland Clinic getting this battery of tests from these doctors. And I'm just, you know, this little kid in this hospital bed. And I have to deal with it.
Right.
I have to be there with all of that scaredness and the fear and the anxiety and all of it. And it's been a really interesting journey.
And how long was that journey? Like, I mean, when I met you, you were in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. So it's truly, right now, I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my whole life.
Right.
And like, I do not take that for granted ever. See, people see me now and they don't know. But that's the thing about people, right? You don't actually know what someone's gone through.
Right.
You really don't know.
And that's why it's so important that we are able to tell our story, because there's somebody out there that has gone through a lot of stuff, even in their young age. And then how do you rebound from that? I mean, this was traumatic for you as a child, traumatic for your parents. Mm-hmm. And how do you get through something like that, Isabella?
A lot of love. I mean, the love that my family gave me and the grace that my family gave me during that time. Because so after I got done with the Cleveland Clinic thing, I mean, it was gross and it was sucky. If anyone has dealt with an autoimmune disorder or any kind of health issue, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, it, one day it can be fabulous and the next it's like the world is falling apart.
And how did it affect your body?
So what I have is called mixed connective tissue disease. And it's interesting, actually, even if I say, as I say have, I mean, it's in my heart, it's past tense, which I'm very grateful to be able to say. But and with that, I had to be in a wheelchair for a large portion of the day at school. In my body, the flexibility, it was non-existent, the energy of a kid. Mm-hmm. Talk about something really sad when all of your friends are out hanging out, being kids in school. I had to be homeschooled. I had to be alone a lot.
Until what age?
I would say when I started Toledo School for the Arts, mm-hmm. sixth grade. Mm-hmm. I was still very sick at this time, but TSA was so good about accommodating me. I had a 504 plan, and they were just so supportive of me. I couldn't do a full day of school. And when I was there, I was in the wheelchair majority of the time. And I would have my friends push me around. And, I mean, the teachers were just phenomenal.
Right.
Phenomenal.
Again, speaking of love, I mean, that school teaches everybody to love everybody, right? I know you're a huge supporter of TSA.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm honored to say I'm on the alumni advisory board. And it's the biggest blessing for me to give back to a space that gave me so much.
Right.
Because it truly, like you said, love, it held, that school held me during some of the most tumultuous, difficult time of my life. And it saw me through. Every year I got better and better. That's the great thing, is that once I hit about 13, things really started to change. There was this really, this new chemotherapy thing they wanted me to try. And it was kind of like a, let's see if it works. It worked.
Wow.
So I was doing chemotherapy. I was driving to Cleveland Clinic. I think it was like once a week for a while there, and getting these battery of infusions at 13. That sucked. I'm going to just be real. That sucked.
Yeah,
that
right.
It was really scary. But at the end of that, it helped. It really helped. And then as I got older, I started to be able to incorporate more Eastern modalities of healing. And that's where that quality of life thing really started to come in.
Okay, so explain that Eastern modality of healing, because I know that that's a huge part of your life for people who don't know what that means.
Oh, absolutely. Health is a holistic thing. It's really good. One thing I really am grateful for from my experience with my health early on is I learned the power of having a team. If you have a team of different people with different perspectives, you're better for it.
Right.
So for me, I had a health team of Cleveland Clinic, but then I also was going to acupuncture. I was going to a chiropractor. I was going to I was going to massage therapists. All of these different things that, you know, you don't really think about as a 13-year-old, but that's what I had to do. It's what I had to do.
Right.
Or else I was just sedentary. I could not operate in the world.
So you believe that all of that community, along with treatment, helped you be healthier and stronger? And is that something you have to keep up?
Absolutely. I mean, my support team behind the scenes is intense. Like, that's a part I'm excited to have the opportunity to talk about it, because, you know, you see what happens on the outside and you see someone out in the community, but the behind the scenes, man, I've got so much love behind me and I got so much support, and I'm so abundantly grateful. And what's so beautiful is that I've been actually just talking about this with my acupuncturist. I've been accruing all of this beautiful merit of all this love that people have been pouring into me for years. And now I get to express that love out through my career.
Right.
Through my, just me being Isabella.
Yes.
Like that is like the thing. And if anyone, again, if anyone has dealt with a health issue, or even if you've had like an issue, maybe a car accident or something, where like life is suddenly right there. That line between life and death is right there. Now going back and really getting all the nutrients from my story, I live like that every day.
You do.
Every day.
You do. And you emit that every day too, Isabella. It's so, so beautiful. And, you know, we talk about love. I mean, I truly feel like you emit that in every walk of life. I want to go back a little bit to the love of your family. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know that I have a deep love-hate relationship with your father, because I want him to fix me and I don't know how to be fixed.
He's the most loved dude. I tell you, so he is a professor at UT, y'all. I was known as being Jay Weick's daughter.
Yeah.
And like, I did stuff at UT, okay? Like, I was out here, but no, like, he is so, my whole family is pretty, I'm very grateful that way.
Right.
You know, to have that.
So something that maybe not everybody knows is your father founded the Buddhist temple, the only Buddhist temple in Toledo, right?
Yes, it was my mom and my dad.
Your mom and your dad, that's right.
Yes, it was very much a joint effort. So that really informed me growing up too. I mean, I got to see firsthand what it takes to build something from the ground up.
Yes.
And really be pioneers of something. Because to your point, there was no Buddhist temple at all. I mean,
and not everybody understands even what that means,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like it is, well, why don't you describe what it is? What is living the Buddhist lifestyle? Or is it a religion? Or I don't know if it's a religion.
Yeah. I love this question.
I know.
I love this question. I'm really passionate about religious diversity.
Yes.
And like learning about different religions, because you learn you want to get to someone's soul and someone's heart. Like ask them about their religion.
Yes.
Like truly, that is one of the coolest ways to like get a connection with a new friend. It's like, tell me about what you believe in. So I love this question. Let's talk about it. With Buddhism, it is a religion. A lot of people think, oh, it's more of a way of life. And that's because in Buddhism, you don't have to have, it's not theistic, meaning we don't think of Buddha as a god. Mm-hmm. So, but what's interesting is because of that, we have people at the temple who are Christian Buddhists, who are Jewish Buddhists. You can have that connection with God and have the practice of Buddhism. And Buddhism, I mean, boiled down, it's the alleviation of suffering for ourselves and the other people.
Right.
Like that's like very distilled down, core teachings, everything. It's just, it's about alleviating suffering. And that's my North Star.
Right.
100%, that's my North Star. And for a lot of people who are not Buddhist, that is also their North Star. Interesting, is it not?
It is, right?
It's, for me, growing up in that environment, it was never forced on me or anything like that. I do definitely want to say that. I've come into it on my own because it just, again, talk about love and being held, that held, my practice held me during those very, very difficult years. And now as I'm experiencing the adult world where, like, you know, stuff is getting real. Like, you know, you not everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray space and, like, wow.
Yeah.
Then there's a lot of pain. Wow.
And your practice you speak of, tell me about that.
So for me, I meditate daily. I go to Sunday service at the Buddhist temple. We have our chanting we do. It's a kind of like prayer. It's called metta practice. So something I say every day is, may all beings be at ease. May all beings be at peace. May all beings find the joy that's never known suffering. And see, an interesting thing is that a lot of people will say, oh, well, you're just so blissed out. You're just so zen. You're just so, you're not here. No, no, no. I am very in contact with the world. I viscerally feel that there is major suffering happening
yes.
in the world. And it's the most powerful thing you can do to actually take custody of your heart, take custody of your mind, and still decide that, no, I'm going to be a light in the world.
Right.
I'm going to, one of my mom's favorite animals is a peacock, because peacocks can eat poison, and then they turn that into the beautiful colors of their feathers. And like, that's what we do as
right.
Buddhists, is we take on the suffering of the world, and then we're fully here for it. we are fully present to it. And let's make it better, shall we? Let's make the world a better place, shall we?
Right. Like, it seems like it's just an easy concept. But yet, when you look at the world around us, it doesn't appear to be easy for other people to make the world a better place.
It can be very challenging. We're all just trying to figure it out.
Yes.
One thing I learned real quick is that, I don't feel like I have it together. A lot of other people also don't feel like they have it together, you know?
So most people don't feel like they have it together. And even if we do feel like we have it together, it's not a constant. Like, it's a constant having to pull it back, right?
Yes.
So that's, I want to talk about the meditation part. I mean, you and I have talked about this a million times. I struggle with it. Mm-hmm. I know so many professional people have turned to this and have found success in this because it really centers you. I don't get it because my head doesn't shut off for 2 seconds.
I love your head. I love your brain, Mary.
but talk to us a little bit about, how do you get into the practice of meditation and mindfulness? And then I kind of want to talk into your career path.
So, absolutely. So the meditation portion, that's accessible to anyone. You do not have to be Buddhist to practice mindfulness, to practice meditation. What I do in my practice is very much, the mindfulness is informed by the lineage. It's informed by where it comes from. Which is really, it's beautiful. I mean, it's really, to have the full context of where something comes from is very important. So one thing that can happen is an idea gets very popular and it gets taken away from the core of where it comes from.
What do you mean an idea gets popular? There's something to that. What is your thought?
Yeah, I mean, a great example of this is yoga, actually. So like yoga, it comes from Hinduism. It comes from a thousands of years old tradition. And that doesn't mean that someone can't have a really wonderful, joyous yoga class and have that be something really important in their life. But it's good to be informed. It's good to know that this is something, this feels so good and this feels so familiar and like something that's impactful because it's had time. And it's ancient wisdom here. Like anything that I share, I'm truly anything on this podcast at all, nothing's coming from me. This is coming from my family. This is coming from everything that I've had the privilege of learning over the years and absorbing. And, you know, it's not from me. It's an old, ancient kind of wisdom.
And you have turned this wisdom now into a career.
Yes.
How amazing is that? Like, how many people get to say, the way that I was brought up, the things that I believe in, everything that I am now is my career. I think it's so beautiful. So tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, truly, I pinch myself every day. And it's been a beautiful journey, Mary, of like, you know, checking this thing out. And then, turns out it's right there in front of me
right. This
whole time. And I've talked to other mentors of mine. They said they've had similar experiences where the thing that you're called to do has actually kind of always been there. It's just you can't connect the dots forward only looking back.
Yes. So what is your career now?
I stepped in as president and CEO of Toledo Mindfulness Institute. I'm like really cheesing right now because I just love it. I mean, really, yes. I geek out that I get to do this. So my dad created Toledo Mindfulness Institute about 10 years ago as a way for organizations, companies, people to connect with mindfulness in a way that's accessible to all people.
Yes.
So it is informed by our Buddhist teachings, but we're never trying to push that or anything. This is accessible to everyone. And so with Toledo Mindfulness Institute, I was like, Dad, I went to this Forbes conference, this Forbes 30 Under 30 conference, and I had Toledo Mindfulness Institute as on my nameplate, right? And I had people coming up to me, like running up to me saying, what is that? And you know when you're too close to something really cool? Like, that's genuinely what happened.
Yes.
Like, I was too close to it. And then I realized at that conference, I was like, oh my gosh, this is something really, this can be taken up a level. Before, I was just a consultant through the Institute, but I got home from that conference, Mary, and I was like, Dad.
Here we go.
Here we go, Dad. Dad, it's time.
Right. Because we all need that in our lives, right?
Yeah.
No matter what your practice is or religion or whatever, but being in touch with your body and your mind and emotions, right? Like, you help center all of that, correct?
Absolutely. Like,
how does that, again, I can't figure it out. I'm trying. Can't even touch my toes. But I'm really interested in how to just let go, you know, of your mind and your body. Like, what is that? It is a practice, right?
It's completely a practice. And I love that we're talking about this, because even what you said right there, it's a serious misconception that with mindfulness and meditation, there are many different types of meditation. Let me just start off by saying that. There's many different types. What we're talking about is mindfulness meditation. And with mindfulness meditation, the idea is actually not to escape our thoughts. It's not to escape and try to go to our happy place, because what happens when stuff is really hitting the fan and that day at work is really stressful, or you get the call and that family member just passed away? Like, how do we respond to our day-to-day life? And so with mindfulness practice, the practice is all about how to be present for the moment exactly as it is, and truly to take custody of our mind and be able to place it exactly where we want it to be for as long as we want it to be there. And I truly think that's why I was able to heal myself in over this time period. It's why I've been blessed to be in so many rooms that honestly a 23-year-old shouldn't be in, you know, but I'm really good about listening, and I'm really good about being present, and I'm really good about just being an apprentice, actually.
Right.
And a lot of that comes from the mindfulness practice. And so it can look a lot of different ways, but this business about being connected with ourselves, that is our birthright. I feel that in my body.
Yes.
And so if I can help one person feel connected to their body, I've won the day. Like, I've won my life, actually, because for a while there, I was not connected to my body.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
There were years where I just had to truly just lay down in bed. And if you ever, you know, see me out or whatever, I love talking to people. I love being social. That's because there was many years where I couldn't.
Yes.
I couldn't.
And you talk about connection with your body. The other thing that inspires me about you is your connection with the community, Isabella. I know that is
wow,
such
that means
a
so much coming from you. Oh my
huge,
gosh.
Huge part of who you are and your purpose. Tell me about your love for community.
I love Toledo.
I do too.
I am such a geek about Toledo and the Renaissance of Toledo and everything. But truly, to go back to that core of love, I have been so blessed to have so much love in my life through my, honestly, I think back to my institutions I've been part of. The University of Toledo, go Rockets, baby. I love UT. I love TSA. I love Toll House. I love it there. I geek out about that place. But it's just my job to just be a cheerleader for my city.
And other people.
And other, exactly. Exactly.
You started this Rotaract. Or a part of that?
Yes.
Where did that come from?
So get this. So as to your point about like being in community, when I first graduated from UT, I was like, how do I be a young professional in Toledo? I was like, what do I do? Because at UT, I was so blessed to be in student organizations, and I was out here. I was the director of the homecoming parade. Like, I was out here. I was doing stuff. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this is really important to me, to be connected to people and to be able to contribute a small portion of who I am to make something really beautiful happen. And so I was like, well, how do I do that? My friend Corey Wallen was like, hey, I'm going to a Rotary meeting. Do you want to come as my plus one? I was like, sure. I go, and Mary, it just happens to be that they're starting the conversation about starting a young professional organization.
Oh,
they already
gosh.
Had a president and treasurer, and I was like, I'll be VP.
Yes.
And that's how it truly is. It's about showing up.
It is about showing up.
I was just talking to Sandy Spang about this. It is about showing up. Even if you're nervous and you're scared and you're like, I'm not going to have any friends, I don't know what to say, just show up, because you never know. You never know what type of situation needs you and your light and your knowledge and your who you are to help make that thing happen.
Right.
So it just happened to be. And fast forward, we're not even a year old at this point, Mary. We have like 34 members and we're hitting this very beautiful niche. I was feeling lonely. Truly, right. I was feeling lonely. I was feeling like, where are my people that are young professionals? It doesn't matter the industry, but who have this creative, innovative, pioneering mindset? You know, where are they? And so that's kind of naturally what Rotaract has turned into. I'm president of Rotaract now, and it's been so, I mean, truly, I've learned so much about leadership and the conversations that I've been able to be a part of because of that.
Yes.
Ooh, extraordinary.
Right.
And the people that I've been able to reach, because there are so many people that I meet and I'm just like, you are so gifted. Oh my gosh. Like, but we just, as people, we just need a framework. We just need something to be able to step into. If the framework is there, then the person can shine.
Right.
I genuinely believe that.
So, you know, the podcast is called Women in What We Do. I feel like you are such an example of what we do, right? You overcome adversities, you emit love, you are there for other people. And I think your presence, Isabella, is way beyond your age, but certainly something that I think that everybody should experience. I am so grateful that you are part of my life, part of this podcast, and certainly a part of this community, because I know that you are going to do great things. So thank you for being here, and go get him.
I love you, Mary.
I love you. So do you see why Isabella is such an inspiration to me and so many others? She's so right when she says you can look all around you and try to find exactly what you want to do in life. And you know what? It just may be right in front of you. I do believe that we can all learn from the practice of mindfulness. Boy, I wish I were better at it. The gift of being present for the moment exactly as it is and taking custody of your own mind is power. I'm your host and producer, Mary Brucker, with my amazing executive producer here, Chris Pfeiffer. We're so grateful to have our guest, Isabella Wyk, on our show. And if you love what you hear, please check out other amazing stories of women around us at wgte.org/whatwedo. And remember, speak up. We do.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.